And so today we get to dive into God's word together. We're going to do that here this morning. We're going to be jumping back into, if you have been around True North for a while, we've been working our way through the book of Mark now for several years. And we've been doing that in different seasons, right? So this will be season 4. We're going to put that graphic up here. We're going to dive back into Mark. And one of the things, here's what I love about teaching verse by verse through books of the Bible, is that when you get to certain verses that are difficult and challenging, you can't just jump over them and skip over them, right? And so today, we're just picking up where we left off at the end of chapter 9. We're jumping into chapter 10. And today, we're going to be dealing with a text that is very challenging and difficult and in our culture can bring a lot of tension in people's lives. And so one of the things I love about Jesus, right, because really Mark is one of the gospels, right, one of the four gospels. It studies the life and the ministry and the teachings of Jesus. One of the things I love about my Savior and my King is that he was willing to address difficult topics, things that weren't necessarily culturally popular, and to bring ultimately at the end of the day, the truth of God's word to the world, right? Through those things. And so here's the topic that we're going to get into today. You may have looked ahead already in your Bible to see what this is, but the topic is actually the topic of divorce. And this is not a topic that gets talked about very often in the church. That's the reality. And for good reason, right? It's a sensitive issue. This is a really hard topic. And so I wanted to let you know, this is where I want to start with this today. All this week, I have been praying so hard about this message that I would be able to just bring it in a way that is both truthful. We're going to unpack the word of God and we're going to look at what the word of God says. But we're also, I want to always do this in a way that is full of grace and love for you, my church family. Because here's what I know, and I said this at the first service. There are many people in this congregation who I am shepherding, who I love deeply, who I know have been through difficult divorces, have been through hard, hard, hard divorces. There are maybe children in this room who have had to watch their parents go through really hard divorces. And I want you to know as we begin, like I'm the product of someone who watched my parents go through a really, really hard divorce when I was a kid. And so I empathize with you. I sympathize with what you've been through. I want you to know how much I love you and care about you. And as we begin this today, here's my hope, is that you would walk out of here not feeling beat up, but feeling built up. That you would walk out of here knowing the truth and the seriousness of who God calls us to be when we get married, right? What God says about divorce. I want you to know the truth of that, but I also want you to walk out of here knowing the incredible grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ that is for every person ultimately in this world who's ever been divorced and has really just come to the Lord and said, look, I don't know what to believe about this. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know what, you know, God, what do you say about this? I want you to know there's so much grace in this situation, ultimately. And so as we dive into this today, I want to first and foremost just begin by looking at this from a cultural, like what the culture says about this situation. Because I think we have to start there, right? The reality is, the culture believes kind of one thing about divorce, and God's word has some different things to say, as it almost always does from the culture, right? The culture that we're living in many ways, right? Divorce has been made normal in our culture. It really has, right? Divorce, I feel like this is the imagery that came to my mind this week. Splitting from your spouse is no different these days than canceling your gym membership for a lot of people. That's the truth, right? And so if a new gym opens up down the road, right, and it's got better equipment, I can go ahead and just, you know what, I'm done with this relationship over here, and I'm ready to bounce over to this new one, because what they're offering over here is a whole lot better than what I've been experiencing over here, right? And that, in the world we live in, that's totally acceptable. That's totally okay to go that route, right? But the reality is, right, that sadly, I think even amongst Christians, that mindset has kind of crept in. That is not God's way. That is not how God wants us to look at our marriages and look at divorce. And so the question for us today is, okay, well, how does God want us to look at that? That's really what I want to unpack, right? Number one, what did Jesus say about divorce? Let's look to him first and foremost. What does the whole of Scripture, right, the rest of God's word say about divorce? when is it okay to get a divorce? And spoiler alert, there are times when it's okay, when God says it's allowable to get a divorce. When is it not okay for us to just kind of throw in the towel and get a divorce? So ultimately, church, here's what I want you to hear. First and foremost, hear my heart for you. I love you. I care about you. This is a really difficult and challenging topic that I know in some ways is going to drum up potentially in some of us some feelings, right? It may open up some wounds. And I want you to know how sensitive I am to that and that I love you and that ultimately we're going to look to the cross that heals all. I believe that. And hopefully walk out of here. Not only maybe for some of us, yeah, we might need to be a little bit convicted today. But I also hope that some of us will walk out of here feeling some healing also and feeling a sense of like, okay, you know what? It's going to be okay, right? And so that's ultimately where my heart is, just praying that this is going to be a great time of healing and challenge for us today. All right. So Mark chapter 10 is where we're going to pick back up. This is where we left off. It's been 9 months, I think, almost since we were in Mark. It's crazy how fast time flies. But for some context here, where we left off, Jesus has been teaching like he does throughout his ministry, right? He's now in the city of Capernaum with his disciples. Capernaum is like their home base, if you will. They go there regularly to get rest and kind of get recharged, right? And oftentimes Jesus would do a little bit of teaching there, right? But then eventually they would move back out into different parts of Israel and Jesus would do more teaching. And that's what we're going to find him doing here. They're about to leave Capernaum and they're going to head for this region called Judea. And this region of Judea, basically, Jesus is going to spend the last 6 months of his life leading up to the cross teaching there. And so we're marching towards the cross here in the book of Mark. It's been 2.5 years now of ministry. He's got about 6 months left to go. And we're going to find him once again teaching and getting encountered by his arch nemesis, the Pharisees here. All right, let's pick this up together. So it says, Jesus then left that place, Capernaum, and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them, right? And so we've seen this, right? As we've studied the life and ministry of Jesus over and over again, this is what we see. This is the pattern. Jesus goes into a region, he draws a crowd. People hear that about him, they know he's coming, right? A crowd is drawn, and what does Jesus do? Whenever there's a crowd, he begins to teach. And whenever he begins to teach, guess what happens? His enemies show up and they try to trap him and they try to catch him in a situation where they can discredit him. They do not like Jesus, these Pharisees, right? That are really his kind of enemy number one, right? They do not like him. And so Jesus is drawing a crowd, doing what he does. And look what happens next. Some Pharisees came and they tested him by asking him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Now, the first thing I want us to notice here is this is not a question from the Pharisees that's inquisitive. They're not really interested in what Jesus has to say about this. They're not interested in anything that Jesus has to say. They want to discredit him. They want to catch him in a situation where people go against him, where his popularity starts to wane a little bit. Right? Where they can accuse him of something blasphemous against God, right? And against the Holy Spirit. And so they come to him with this question, Jesus, tell us your thoughts on divorce, right? You want to talk about dropping a grenade into a crowd, right? Tell us about your thoughts on divorce, Jesus, right? And so for context here, this is really, really important. Recognize this, that while divorce today is absolutely a controversial topic, believe it or not, it was actually a really controversial topic back then as well. And so I want to tell you what the kind of two schools of thought were at that time on divorce. You had two schools, literal schools of thought on this. You had Shammai, the Shammai school over here, and over here you had the Hillel school. And the easiest way, the most simplistic terms I can put on this are this. The Shammai school are the hyper-conservatives. The Hillel school are the hyper-liberal. See, nothing has changed, guys, in several thousand years, all right? You got the hyper-conservatives over here, the Shammai school, and they would basically say, you can't get a divorce for any reason other than just complete, gross, ongoing sexual immorality. That's the only reason. And even then, you really should just stay with your husband or your wife. That's their stance, right? Then you have this stance over here, the Hillel school. And they have really what I think is probably more of our modern day liberality about this, which is you can divorce your husband or your wife for literally anything. She makes a bad meal some night, get rid of her, right? You overcook the chicken one too many times, lady, you're gone, right? That's their philosophy. If a man just looked at his wife and thought, I don't like her anymore, he could divorce her, right? This was their stance. So you have these two schools of thought. So what they're doing here, these Pharisees are doing, is they're pitting Jesus against these two different groups and hoping he's going to say something one way or the other. He's going to side with one or the other, and they're going to get all flustered and fired up and angry at him, and we're going to discredit Jesus. That's what the situation that's happening here. Now, I love this about Jesus, and this is why, as a Christian, we go to God's word for every answer that we have questions for. That's where we go. That's our truth. There is no truth outside of that, ultimately. Jesus never, ever in his teaching based his ideas, his ideologies on what man thought. He's not interested in what the Shammai school says or what the Hillel school says. He's interested in what his heavenly Father says. And so what does he do? He goes straight to the Word of God. We're going to see this in a second. He goes to the Old Testament, right? That's where the truth is going to be found. That's where the law is. That's where God's ways are ultimately found. So let's look at this. Look at verse 3. Look at what Jesus says. What did Moses command you? He replied. They said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law, Jesus replied. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Now, Jesus is brilliant. We know that. He is the teacher of teachers. He knows all of the answers, right? And so he asks them, he poses, he does this often. They ask him a question and he comes back with a question back to them. What is his question? What did Moses say? He looks at them and says, hey, this is what's happening here. You're supposed to be the experts in the law. You're supposed to know the Bible, right? You're the Pharisees. You're the religious leaders, the religious experts. You tell me. What did Moses say? Now, Jesus knows what's in their hearts. He knows how they're going to respond, right? And so in a way, he's really just doing the same thing to them that they just tried to do to him. Tell me what Moses says about this. Now, let's look at what they say here. This is really important. Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away, they said. Now, they are quoting a very specific text of scripture here. It's Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. You can go and look that up sometime later this week. I don't have time to read all of that today, but they're quoting scripture. The problem is they're doing what they often did and what people often do today. They're taking that scripture completely out of context. They're twisting it and making it work for them, for their ideology and how they want it to work for them, right? This happens all the time. It's been happening since the beginning of time, right? And so to that, Jesus pushes back. He's like, no. Hold on a second here, guys. Look at what he said in verse 5. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law. Because of the hardness of your hearts, Jesus says, Moses allowed this thing to happen, but it was never God's design. So again, context, this is really important. Even in those days, even in Moses' days, there were many, many people who were trying to essentially come up with any way they could to be able to divorce their wife, men specifically, right? And so again, if a woman, you know, burned his dinner, made a negative comment about his mother, just looked over here and saw a woman that he liked better and pleased him more, he could say, I want to divorce you. And so here's why Moses puts this into place. Don't miss this. This is actually a protection for the woman who was being sent away. Because what would happen is he could divorce her for any and every reason. And now she goes away. She can't ever get remarried. Not by God's standard, not by God's design. Even though she was kicked to the curb for absolutely no good reason at all. This guy is wicked. That's evil. That's messed up to do that, right? And so Moses says, give her a certificate of divorce so that at least it's legal, so that if she wants to go and remarry, she can. That's what's happening here. But what the Pharisees have done is they've twisted this around to make it seem like you can just get a divorce anytime, any way you want. It doesn't matter what it is that's happening in the relationship. Right? And so Jesus rebukes this, right? He says, your hearts were rebellious, and so that's why Moses allowed this. Now, the bottom line here is very simple. This is what Jesus is saying. God was never okay with divorce for just any and every reason. You can't just make up things about a person or nitpick at these little things. I love Seinfeld. One of my favorite Seinfelds is he breaks up with a woman because she eats her peas one at a time, right? You can't just divorce your wife because she eats her peas one at a time, right? Jesus is like, that's not how this works. And so here's what I love about Jesus. He doesn't just focus on the negative. He shifts to the positive here. And he goes back to God's word again. He goes back to Genesis 2:24. Did you catch this? Look at verse 6. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. He's like, let's talk about the heart of the issue here. The real heart of the issue. God created them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And the two will become one flesh. And so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. He takes them back to the very beginning, to the moment, to the time when God established what marriage is actually supposed to be. He's like, let's take this whole divorce thing off the table for a second. And let's look at what God's design for marriage is, right? And so he gives them this verse, Genesis 2:24, and he talks about a couple of things, and I want to look at this. First thing he says is that you, when you get married, you become one flesh with another person. In other words, you are now inseparable from that person. You are inseparable. Not only that, he says, you leave your mother and father and you become united. And I want to look at that word for a second. That word in the original Hebrew language means to hold fast or be stuck to. The imagery that kind of came into my mind this week, has anybody ever used Gorilla Glue? Right? If you use Gorilla Glue, you know this. You take two things and you glue those two things together and you let that really get stuck together and try to rip that apart. What will happen? It's impossible to rip that apart without pieces of this side coming off on this side, right? And pieces of this side coming off on this side. You're going to tear it to shreds, right? This is the imagery that God is giving here. When two people come together, once they're married, they are inseparable. And in order to separate them, there is going to be a tearing. It's inevitable. It's impossible not for that not to happen, right? Once you are married, you are gorilla glued together. That's the imagery I want us to see here, right? We are united in mind, in body, in spirit, right? And so to close, just to kind of put the nail in the coffin here, what does Jesus tell us? He basically says that this is what God ordained for marriage. He says, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. So when there is divorce that is not justified, when that happens, you are not only breaking this bond that you have with this other person, this covenant that you've made with this other person, you are breaking the bond and the covenant that you have made with God himself. He is the one who has ordained this. And so what I believe is Jesus just wants them to see the seriousness of this, that they have made light of it. They have made it easy for people to get a divorce. And Jesus is like, no. This isn't supposed to be easy. This is, you're supposed to work for this and fight for this. Don't you dare for a second let the culture tell you, yeah, you can just get divorced for any and every reason. And so with that, Jesus, I love this about Jesus as well. He just kind of drops the mic and moves on. There's no other, like, it doesn't tell us how the Pharisees responded. We don't know exactly, but we do know this. Right after this, Jesus goes back to this house, wherever they're staying, and the disciples come and they ask him about this. Look at this in verse 10. He gives a little bit more information here for us. When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery. So the disciples, they get back to the house, and they're like they always do. This happens all the time with the disciples. They hear this teaching out in the public square, but they got questions. Just like all of us, I think, would have questions. Wait a minute. Jesus, you gotta unpack this some more for me. You gotta explain this for me some more. So they get back to the house and they're like, Jesus, please help us understand, what exactly are you saying? And so Jesus tells them very directly, he gives it to them very plainly. Anyone who divorces their spouse and marries someone else, he says, commits adultery. Now, if you read that in a vacuum, if you just read that verse without the context of the whole of Scripture, you are going to find yourself believing something that is not true, right? When you read that, just in a vacuum, if you read, right, here's what it seems like it's saying. Jesus is saying, if you get a divorce, you can never get remarried or you're committing adultery. Now, this is why this is critical for us. And this is why I'm just constantly like, I am banging this drum. We can't just take one verse out of context. We got to read every single text that we read in Scripture through the lens of Scripture. And so here's what we know about Mark. Mark is the shortest gospel. Mark is the most succinct gospel. Mark is very quickly moving through the life and ministry of Jesus. He doesn't have time for extra fluff. And so for Mark, he is assuming that the reader understands something, that there's additional teaching on this. It's assumed that there is a clause to this. He's assuming that his reader knows that. Now, this is why it's unbelievably important that we have four gospels. So we have three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All three of those gospels have very similar accounts of similar situations. All three of these gospels have this account in it, right? And so Mark and Luke don't add anything additional, but Matthew does. And again, this is why it's important for us to understand context and read Scripture through the lens of other Scripture. Look at what Matthew 19:9 says. This gives additional information. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery. Matthew 19:9. And so in this particular passage, Matthew adds that Jesus also said, if someone commits sexual immorality, that word that's used there is this word porneia. It can stand for it can mean a lot of different types of sexual immorality. If somebody commits sexual immorality, that is a justifiable grounds for divorce. So back to that question from the beginning of our little talk here today, right? Is there ever a reason that it's okay to get a divorce? Yes, Jesus very, very specifically tells us here. If there is sexual immorality involved, yes, you are justified in getting a divorce. We're going to talk some more about that in a little bit, but I want to hit something else here before we move on from this. Because if you read the whole of Scripture, there is also a second reason. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's Paul writing this letter to the church at Corinth, and he addresses something very specific here that I think is really critical for us to understand. So verse 10, it says this, we'll start there. To the married, I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband, but if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife. To the rest, I say this, I, not the Lord, if any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. And then let's jump down to verse 15. But if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or the sister is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. And so we have this first qualifier, if you will, sexual immorality. God says it is okay to get a divorce if that happens. We now have a second thing, and I'm gonna just give one word to kind of define this. It's the word abandonment. If you are in a marriage, Paul says, where the spouse leaves the relationship, the unbelieving spouse leaves the relationship, And I think this is where like this gets nuanced. This gets complicated. Well, how do we know if they're a believer? How do we know if they're not a believer? Are they really walking with the Lord or just saying it? Is it just lip service, right? I think only the people in that relationship can really determine whether that's true or not. But at the end of the day, God says that if you are in a marriage with somebody and they abandon the relationship, you are not held responsible for that. And this is really critical. I believe abandonment comes in multiple forms. It's not just, right, we think abandonment, immediately our first thought is they just flew the coop. They're just like, they're gone, they didn't come back, hey, I don't want to have anything to do with you, right? Abandonment is, it's more than that. Let's be honest. Come on, let's get down to the brass tacks here this morning. Abuse is a form of abandonment. If you are in a relationship, if you are in a marriage where somebody is physically abusing you in some way, they have abandoned the relationship. I don't care. I will stand on that. It's not healthy for a person to stay in a marriage or a relationship like that. That is a form of abandonment. And so again, this is where this gets really tricky. You have to be able to have discernment and wisdom based on the word of God. You have to be in prayer. You have to be talking to the Lord. Like, and we're going to get to this in a second. Like it should never be an easy decision to get a divorce. But there are times when it is not only acceptable, but I believe it is healthy. It is the right thing to do, as hard as that is. Notice here what is not acceptable. I do want to hit that for a second. If an unbelieving spouse, it says, is willing to live with the believing spouse and is willing to have relationship with them, divorce is not okay. It's not enough to just say, well, they're not a believer, so I'm going to divorce them. If you are a believer who got married to an unbeliever, you are still gorilla glued for life, right? And so that's critical. That's important. And I'll use this example. I know somebody who was married for 60 years. She was a believer. He was not. And she stayed with him for 60 years. And as hard as I know that was, she did that because she believed she was honoring the Lord by doing that. And to me, I respect that. I do. Man, that had to be hard, right? But that's what God's stance is on this. He says, you are gorilla glued for life. Do not separate this. Let no one separate what God has brought together. And so the bottom line from all of this teaching is that God's wisdom is perfect here. I love how God says, you know what? Marriage is so important. It is so sacred to me that no way am I going to give you an easy way out. But I also love the grace and the mercy of God that he recognizes and understands. There are some times when this is actually in the best interest of a person. And he does give that way out. And so as we kind of move into a time of application here, there are a few things that I do really want us to see today. Because this ultimately is the heart of this for me. This, all this information, like understanding what God says about divorce, if it doesn't lead to our hearts actually like being moved in some way, being healed in some way, being convicted in some way, then it's just information. And I always want us to leave this place just ready to take action, even if that action is to just feel the grace of God this morning. And so number one, this is a perspective that I think every person needs to have. God hates divorce. We can see this throughout all of Scripture. Malachi 2:16 literally says those three words. God hates divorce. It is never, hear me today, it's never his plan from the beginning. It is never his desire for a couple to get divorced. It does happen, and sometimes there are justified reasons for it, but make no mistake about it, it's not God's plan. And so, honestly, the people who really need to hear that today is not the person who already got the divorce. That's happened. It's in the past. You can't do anything about that now. The people who need to hear that are the people who are not yet married and the people who are right now in a fight for their marriage. You need to hear that. And my encouragement to you is to recognize, why does God hate divorce? Because it has devastating consequences on our lives. Anybody in this room who's experienced it in whatever way you've experienced it knows that. There's fallout from that. It's hurtful. It's painful. It leaves scars, right? There's children involved. There's your that tearing that happens between you and another person. Like, God doesn't want that for you. That's not his plan for you. He doesn't want that for you. And so I tell you that today to simply say, hey, if you're thinking about getting married, take that seriously. Recognize that before you make that commitment and go into that covenant. And if you are married right now, fight for your marriage if you can. It may be at a point where you can't anymore. And it's too far gone. And you have justified reasons for why this needs to end. But I implore you to fight for it. Why? Because this is, if God hates divorce, therefore, divorce should be our absolute last resort. It should be the absolute last resort. It is a resort sometimes, but it should be the absolute last one. Let me put it this way to you. Divorce is like amputation. That's the best imagery I can give you. Right? Sometimes it's essential to save the rest of your body to get an amputation, right? Think about the Civil War. I think about guys who got shot and gangrene started to, you know, develop in their arm and it starts to slowly move up, right? It's eventually that sickness, that infection, it's going to kill the whole body. Better to amputate that arm, as painful as that will be, as difficult as that will be, than to let that destroy your entire life. That's the imagery I want to give you of divorce. It's like an amputation. And if that's true, if it really is like a limb that is part of your body, boy, you better think twice about cutting it off. You better think long and hard, right? It's going to cost you. It's going to be very, very painful. So it better be absolutely necessary. That's what I want to impart to you today. I want to share with you, if you are someone in the room who your spouse cheated on you, they committed adultery. Man, first of all, I'm sorry. That's painful. It's so hard to go through that. The pain that brings in a person's life. I am genuinely sorry. But can I say this today? If that person, and that's a big if that person is genuinely repentant and desires to continue to have a relationship, desires to restore that relationship, can I just challenge you today? Do everything you can to try to bring restoration in that relationship. Try to forgive them if you can. That may not be possible. I recognize that. I totally understand that. That person may not be repentant at all. They may be continuing to live the way that they have been living. And in that case, you're totally justified. But here's what I believe about most people. Not all people, but a lot of people. They throw in the towel way too early. There's a lot of people. I so believe this. Many, many people who are leaving marriages that they should stay in and fight for. Now, let me flip that around, because I also think this is true. I also think there are people who stay in marriages that, frankly, they should have left, that they should have moved on from. And again, please, the last thing I want you to hear today is, well, Pastor Justin said I should go get a divorce. That ain't what I'm saying, okay? But there are times when that is the right thing and the healthy thing to do. But again, only you, as a follower of Jesus, who is hopefully pursuing his word in prayer with him, connected to the Holy Spirit, can really know if that is right for you or not. All I'm simply saying is this. If you are married today, fight for it. Fight for your marriage with everything that you've got. And obviously that takes two people to do that. But man, as your pastor, of course, wouldn't I? I want you to have a great marriage. I want you to have health in your relationship with your husband or wife. I don't want to see you end up in divorce court. It's the last thing that I want for you. All right, let's move on. A couple more points and then we'll be done. Somebody needs to hear this one today. I am convinced of this. Illegitimate divorce is not an unforgivable sin. Somebody needs to hear that today. Somebody in this room maybe has been walking around with guilt and shame and feeling like I messed up and I shouldn't have gotten a divorce and now I went and got remarried. And is it God's design? Is it his plan? Does God hate divorce? Yeah, he hates divorce. It's never his design. It's never his plan. But if that was you, and you found yourself in a situation where you did that, can I just tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ that covers all? I'm so grateful for God's grace. Take the whole divorce thing off the table for a second. Just think about anything, any sin in our life that we've messed up and we've really, really screwed things up. If we are genuinely repentant, if we are genuinely sorry and we have sought the Lord and we have asked for forgiveness, can I just tell you today, God forgave you. He forgives you. His grace is enough. That's the good news of the gospel today. And so don't walk around in living in with this weight of shame on top of you. Recognize, okay, you know what? That was wrong and I shouldn't have done that. Just like many other sins in our life, I was wrong and I shouldn't have done that, but I'm repentant. And from this point forward, right, I am going to live in a different way. I'm going to try in this new relationship, right? I think this is crazy to me. I've literally heard people say this before. So I got an illegitimate divorce and then I got remarried. Should I go and divorce my spouse now to make this right? No, that's insanity. No, you don't do that, right? You what's done is done in the past, and now you are married. Make that marriage the best marriage it can possibly be, and live in the fullness of His grace, right? Somebody again needs to hear that today. And then finally, and with this one, I promise we'll be done. We'll close. I want to leave this on a high note. I want to leave this challenging you, if you are not married yet, with how you can make your marriage really great. And if you are married right now, how you can keep yourself out of divorce court and how you can continue to have a great relationship and a great marriage, or maybe right the ship if your marriage has not been going well. Very, very simple. Let's come back to the Word of God, and I'll paraphrase it for us. Ephesians chapter 5. Very, very simple. This is Paul's letter to the Ephesians telling them, hey, if you want to have a great marriage, here's the answer. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wives, do likewise. If you want to have a great marriage, love your wife, love your husband the way that Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? He died for the church. He died for his bride. He gave everything, all of himself, to serve, to sacrifice for her well-being. If you will do that every single day in your marriage, you will never end up divorced. I promise you that. You won't. If you are both serving each other sacrificially in love the way that Christ served the church, it's not possible. You are going to have an unbelievably fulfilling, thriving, abundant marriage as you both serve to meet the needs of each other, as you put each other, the other person first and yourself second. That's my challenge to you, church. Let's walk out of here not going, man, like we just had this whole talk on divorce and man, it's bringing up all these bad memories and no. Let's walk out of here going, God's given us all the tools that we need to have amazing, thriving marriages. I am forgiven. If I'm genuinely repentant, I'm forgiven. God forgives me. I can walk out of here knowing that, set free from any guilt and shame that I may have on me. And from this point forward, we walk in a newness that we didn't have before. That's my prayer for us, church. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for your truth. I thank you that your truth is always covered in grace. God, and that no matter where we sit today, no matter how this hit us and landed today, what our past experiences have been, what we might be going through right now, God, that your word is the answer, that your gospel is the answer. And so, Lord, I just pray right now, if there's anybody who's thinking about getting married, God, that they would be reminded of how just unbelievably seriously you take the covenant of marriage that you created. God, I pray if there's anybody in the room who is married today and is struggling, that you would meet them with your truth and that you would use this message to grow and strengthen and bring their relationship to the place where you want it to be, Lord. God, I pray if there's anybody in the room who has been divorced and they have felt that guilt and shame, may you lift it off of them today as they repent and turn to you, Lord. God, and I pray that each of us would be better for this message today and for your word. God, we love you. We're so grateful for all the ways that you teach us, mold us, and shape us, Father. We love you. It is in Jesus' holy and perfect name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you, church. Have a great week, and I hope to see you soon.